Testing. One, two, three. Test. Test. One, two, three. Test.
Borough Seabright, in compliance with the Public Open Act, has provided the time, date, and location of this meeting to at least two designated newspapers, published same in the Asbury Park Press, the official newspaper, filed it with the clerk, and posted notice on the public board in the borough offices. Can you have a roll call?
Cashmore?
Here.
Chairman Cunningham?
Absent.
Capson? Kazulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Here.
Councilman Lexby?
Here.
Mayor Long? Is absent. Schwartz?
Here.
Not?
Not.
Absent. Smith?
Here.
Duffy is absent, and McGinley?
Here.
We're actually, we did the roll call, but we're gonna do the reorg first. Reorging. First thing we're going to is,
We have to redo our reorganization,
So Liz, Steve, John, no Duffy, and Sean. Can you all stand and just, we're just redoing it, and know we did it. I don't want there to be any questions. You're just gonna repeat after me. Aye, say your name.
Aye.
Aye, John.
Elizabeth DeJoy.
Do solemnly swear?
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States?
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey?
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same?
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States?
And to the governments established in the United States.
And in this state?
And in this state.
Under the authority of the people?
Under the authority of the people.
I do further solemnly swear?
I do further solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully?
That I will faithfully.
Impartially?
Impartially.
And justly perform?
And justly perform.
All the duties of the office of?
All the duties of the office of planning.
You're gonna say planning board. Everybody's going to say a planning board class four member, except for Liz, who's class two, and Sean is alternate.
Planning board class four.
Class four.
Planning board class two member?
Planning board.
Class four alternate. Very good. So help you get, to the best of your ability?
To the best of my ability.
So help you God.
So help you God.
Congratulations, you're back on again. That came under that whole Open Public Meeting Act issue, so we're covering.
When I read it, that's what I thought.
Right, we're redoing everything just to be sure.
We've already had our roll call, and the elections of, have already been established. We'll just reconfirm them. The election of the chairman was Lance Cunningham.
You'll move?
I'll move Lance as chairman.
Got a second.
Okay.
Roll call.
Steve Smith.
The election of vice chairman.
We have to do the roll.
You gotta do the roll call? Okay.
And let the record show that Mr. Knott has arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's in time.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Kazulio?
Kazulio?
Yes.
DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexby?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Next is the election of the vice chairman.
I'll nominate Dave DeCio.
I'll second.
Listen.
Beat you to it.
I thought this should be discussion.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Kazulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Okay.
Councilman Lexby? Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Now we have the appointment of the secretary.
I'll nominate Kathy Morris.
Second.
Cashmore?
Yes.
Kazulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexby?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Now I have the appointment of the board attorney.
I'll nominate Kerry Higgins.
Second.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Now we have the appointment of the board engineer.
I'll nominate Dave Hodder.
Second.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Now we have the appointment of a conflict engineer.
I'll nominate Jackie Ford of Ingenuity.
And I'll second that.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
And Vice Chairman DeCio, did I miss?
Yes. Now we have the appointment of the board planner.
I'll nominate Christine Capone, also of Ingenuity.
Second, that's great application.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
All right, now we'll have the resolution establishing the 2017 meeting dates, if anybody has any conflict with any of those dates. Otherwise, we'll adopt them.
I will move that resolution.
Second that.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Hey.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Okay, now with designation of official newspapers to be the Asbury Park Press, the Two Rivers Times, the Link, and the Star Ledger.
I'll move that designation.
Second.
Cashmore?
Yes.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Knott?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
McGinley?
Yes.
Okay, at this time, I guess we'll move over to our regular meeting. The first thing on the agenda is a memorialization of the resolution for 408 Ocean Avenue. That was the denial of a major subdivision.
I will move that resolution.
I'll second it.
DiGiulio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman DeCio?
I wasn't present for that, does it matter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then I...
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
And that's it.
Steve was here, wasn't he?
No.
No.
Definitely weren't.
No, Steve Smith might, but I wasn't.
I wasn't here.
You were here, okay. My mistake.
No. I wish I did. I thought Dave was here.
He says he wasn't here.
No, I wasn't.
Next on our agenda is the withdrawal of an application of Edward Higgins. I guess, do you have anything to say about that?
You just want to move to accept the withdrawal.
I'll move to accept the withdrawal.
Second. Second.
All in favor?
You can do that. All in favor on that one?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Next on our agenda is the Cole Seabright LLC, which is 26 New Street. That's going to be carried now to April 25th, so if anybody is here for that hearing, this will be the notice that will be carried to April 25th.
Right, with no further notice. And I would note that that's conditioned upon them sending in the extension of the statutory time limits.
Next on the agenda then will be Richard Leedy and Jennifer Sobel, which is 33 Normandy Place. This is an application seeking to construct a new modular home on a new foundation and is seeking variances for approval.
maybe the Bible done. There it is.
Your chairman.
Yeah, you can buy it.
I have reviewed the notice in this matter. It appears that all is in, and the affidavits and the publications appears that all is in good order, and that the board can take jurisdiction. We can get that right over the top and right over the... board can take jurisdiction. I have marked as A1 the jurisdictional packet. Okay, A2 is plot plan, variance plan, prepared by D.W. Smith, Green Engineering, dated You should have in your packet a page that you're going to introduce this, these photos. Okay, so A3 is going to be, it should have been in your packet.
It is.
Okay, it's one page with two photos. There is one. And there's a boundary and a topographic survey. By Crest. By Crest Engineering, dated 4/1/13. And that'll be A4.
Okay. Floor is yours.
Thank you. My name's Richard Levy. I'm the owner with my wife of 33 Normandy Place.
Mr. Levy, I'm going to ask you, you're the applicant.
Yes.
Okay, can you, we need more room, please. Can you,
I can't help you with that.
You're going to offer some testimony, correct?
Yes.
Can you place your left hand on that Bible next to you there and raise your right hand? Solemnly swear a testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And can you just spell your last name for the record?
It's L-E-A-V-Y. I think there might be a typo in the agenda.
There is. I see that. Okay.
My wife is Jennifer Sobel, who was home with my 11-year-old and was unable to come this evening.
Okay.
My wife and I bought 33 Normandy Place in 2008. We did some minor renovations to make it able to be used. It had been rented out before we bought it. Didn't take long at all. We started using the property either the end of 2008 or beginning of 2009, and really enjoyed it, both in the summers as well as in the winters throughout weekend time and vacations. Unfortunately, we suffered the same casualty that many did. There was approximately 73 inches of water in my yard. We had 3 inches, I think 3 feet 7 inches of water on the first floor. It was approximately 80% damage to the structure. We lost the major building systems. The furnace went out. Shortly after the storm, there was some freezing, and we ended up losing the radiator on the second floor because with the furnace out, there was no heat to keep the steam system going, and we had a major flood on the second floor, which to that point had been dry. So we went from approximately 80% damage to, I don't even want to guess what kind of damage we have now. We decided to tear down the structure and replace it. Really, I think it was in 2013 that we decided to do that. We found it very, very difficult to find a contractor who would do it at what I felt was a reasonable cost at that time. Time has gone by. I found what I think is a wonderful contractor to help us with this. Our goal is to essentially replace the structure that's there, bring it down, comply with the VE fast-moving water flood map that was originally proposed by the Army Corps of Engineers. We want to stay within the original footprint of the structure that's now there. I think we're increasing all the setbacks, so we're actually on a slightly smaller footprint than what's there. I was on the phone with my next-door neighbor, I want to say either a week ago or a week and a half ago, who's in Florida. He just wants to make sure that I don't move the house close to where he is, because I don't know if you can see from the plot plan that's up on the board, the houses are very close together. It's a 25-foot wide lot, but they're staggered. So one is close to the water, one is closest to the street, and it goes back and forth. And he just wanted to be sure. Obviously, he expects that whatever we do would be on the same footprint or similar footprint, but he didn't want it to be not staggered, so that he still has the light and air that he currently enjoys. And I said, the last thing that I want to do is lose the light and air that I currently enjoy. We get a nice view, obviously, of the Shrewsbury and the Navisink and all the way out to the Oceanic Bridge, to the Back Bay, and then going forward, we get a relatively unobstructed view to the ocean. You know, the cross breezes are just wonderful, and ideally, we're looking to reproduce what we have now in something which is not only above the floodplain, but the way we've drawn it is to put it on pilings. So, frankly, no matter what happens next time, we'll have low out walls, we'll have pilings. It will be built to withstand pretty much anything that comes at it. I grew up in Margate, quite a bit further south than here. You know, we used to go up to the seawall during every storm. I wasn't here for this one. My next door neighbor was, and he said it was scary. And I just want to make sure that if I happen to be here for the next one, we're going to be safe. So the plan is, don't crowd my neighbors. Don't take up any more of the lot than we're currently on. Rebuild approximately what we have, and you know, continue to enjoy it. You know, I had both my boys. They've gotten a little older than last time we used it. They're now 11 and 18, and the idea is that we'll continue to swim off the back beach and take our kayaks out and have a good time. I work a silly number of hours, and it's just nice to come and decompress, and I really miss it. And my wife tells me that I really need to get away from the office in the city, and you know, that's why we bought it. And unfortunately, we haven't been able to use it for a while. And
I'm just going to cut through a couple of things. Your lot is 25 feet wide, right?
25 by approximately 170.
And that's pre-existing. The requirement in this zone, in the R2 zone, is 50 feet. Is there any room on either side of you to obtain additional land?
No, so
they're both fully developed?
Fully developed, okay. To the north and south.
Alrighty. Your lot depth that has is 183. Your minimum front yard prior, it's 25-foot requirement. Your prior home was at 3.7 feet, and you're proposing this at 16.5-foot front yard setback, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and the side yard requirement is 7 feet. The home before you demolished it was 1.7. You're going with to 1.8 now, and then it's 2.5 on the other side.
Yes.
And the combined side yards is 15 is required. You're moving from 4 to 4.3.
Yes.
Your rear yard setback, you have plenty of room. And it's 15 foot, and you've got more than enough room on that one. Your building height, there's just a discrepancy. Because this is an undersized lot, your maximum height is 33 feet. Originally, the zoning officer indicated a height of 34.7. You were seeking a variance, but your plans indicated 33.5.
0.56.
You'll have your whoever's going to testify clarify what the real height is.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And just with respect to the height, the structure which is currently there is two stories plus an attic. The way we've drawn it, it is still two stories of living space with a flat but obviously pitched roof. We took out the attic to try and keep the height as low as we can. because it's modular, it's essentially built as boxes. They bring it in, they set it with a crane, and then there are some decorative elements in the front, the way it's drawn, so that it doesn't look quite so box-like. We can reduce by the 6 inches to get it within the 33 feet, but the house, frankly, will look more box-like to the neighbors, and I...
For the six inches.
So what we were hoping is... Sure, no, there was a foot of measurement discrepancy. The 6 inches that I believe were actually over is really just a decorative element in the front.
And you're getting a garage.
So the garage will be underneath. So the house will be up on wood pilings, which are vibrated in. And the idea is that we'll have that for a car if we want, plus two off-street parking, and then we can put in, you know, sunfish, kayaks, whatever, you know, we happen to be using out back, chairs, that kind of stuff. Plenty of room for probably three off-street parking, one in the garage plus two in the driveway.
Which previously you did not have.
Previously we had nothing. I would pull up onto the rocks in front of the house. Since they repaved and put in gutters and curbs, it's much harder to get up. I could still do it, but I would have to cut over my neighbor's driveway to do it because it was a little steep to be bringing the car.
How many cars in the garage did you just say?
One in the garage and two in the driveway.
The plan shows two in the garage.
Well, you could get two in the garage. The idea is we'll be putting, you know, maybe a boat or maybe kayaks or things in the back. So we'll be using it as storage, but you could, I guess, technically get four cars off-street. I only own one car.
But you're declaring that there's two off-street parking under the building.
Two potential under the building plus two in front of the building.
Okay, well, yeah, well, okay, you only need two off-street.
Yes, so it'll be four total.
Qualified parking can't be in a setback, so you have to take credit for the two under the building.
Okay.
Well, you're asking for a waiver for the ones that are parked in the front yard? Or in the setback, is that you're asking an additional waiver for?
I have the two. I'll probably not be pulling in. Thank you.
Okay.
There wasn't any pictures of the building. You said there's a flat roof on it, or?
So,
do you have the...
Well, let's get, if you want to get your experts to testify now?
No, that would be great. They can speak on this. Instead of an A-frame pitch, it's a single pitch just because the house is so narrow.
Who do you have next?
So I do a swear as both in?
Okay.
My engineer and my builder.
Left hands on the Bible, raise your right hand. Just solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Yes.
Ken, okay, who's going first?
I'll go first, yes. My name's Tim Lurie, L-U-R-I-E. I'm the principal at D.W. Smith. I have testified in front of this board before. I'm a licensed professional engineer and professional planner and certified municipal engineer in the state of New Jersey.
I'll move that he's an expert.
Can I just get the name of the builder?
Anthony Zarelli. It's spelled Z-A-R-R-I-L-L-I. I'm the owner of Zarelli Homes in Mount Logan.
Very good. Okay. Mr. Lurie.
Sure. Thank you. The property is 33 Norman Place. It's lot 7, lot 30. It's located in the R2 zone. The property is currently existing single-family dwelling. It's about 1,101 square feet. As previously discussed, it was damaged by Sandy. We're proposing to build the house itself is 935 square feet, and then with decks located on the water side of the property, which is on the western side of the property. The existing home was, the crawl space was at elevation 4.1, and then it had a finished floor of 7.1. The actual preliminary flood elevation is elevation 10 for the preliminary flood. The current maps show it at elevation 8. So we're proposing a two-story house that's set with a finished floor at elevation 15.4 with a garage that's set at 5.4.
This says 16.4.
Yeah, there was, I'm going off, there's a, we submitted a revised plan to 2017 through.
Well, after the meeting we have, at least I have, is February 2nd.
February 2nd. We submit a plan because the original survey that was done by Crest Engineering was off by 1 foot. So we, when our surveyors went out there just to kind of verify and kind of get the property set up, we noticed that their survey was off by 1 foot. So we submitted a revised plan, a revised finished floor based off the actual elevations for 1988.
Let me just make sure I mark the right one in that case. February 2nd?
Yes.
Okay, that is correct. I'm just going to make a note on that in the record that it was revised to February 2nd.
And the revision notes as revised for proposed grades, the field verification of benchmarking. We went out and set a benchmark and realized that the Crest plan was off by 1 foot.
Right.
Do you have, can you show us the picture of it? The picture of the house? That's really the money shot.
Yeah, well, it's black and white, I don't have a color rendition, but did everyone get a copy?
We don't have.
No.
We don't?
No.
Do you want me to pass this around?
Sure.
Actually, I have two of them, so why don't you guys take this?
Yeah, I'm going to mark that as A5. And what is that you're passing around?
That's the architectural plans of the house.
Okay, they're not dated or nothing on them?
Use these, because these are the same as those. They're dated 8/16/2016, both of them.
Okay, does it have prepared by anyone?
Yes, it's prepared by Simplex Homes. And to kind of help with a little bit, I brought some samples of the siding with us so you guys can know the color of the siding. It's kind of fits the neighborhood. You have your blues and grays, your beachy type of colors. So I could show you that in a little while after Tim's done with his testimony.
Steve, while you have that in your hand, would you write A5 on it so that I don't get in there when it gets running around there?
Thank you.
Go through the bulk requirements?
I think I did, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you talk about the roof, just that's the only one I think that was not.
The height, the actual, right door on the back. The actual height we have set by the average grade of 5.2. We're allowed the 33-foot maximum height. We actually come up to an actual, the minimum roof peak is at 38.2. The actual roof peak comes out to 38.7, which brings us to that 33.5-foot for the height of the structure.
And when you say 33.5, it's 33 feet, 6 inches?
That's correct.
And that, I just, it's to the facade, not the actual.
It's to the top of the.
If I can, maybe I should show you guys.
Can I point out, is that okay if I just show?
The height is to the top of this, it's like a facade to break up the roof line. That dotted line is actually the roof. So that goes above it about another foot.
So it's an architectural feature that.
That's all it is. It's not attic, it's just an architectural feature. And that's what Rich was saying as well.
To essentially make it look a little less boxy for the.
Right.
Might not even need.
If you want, I could point it out to you guys, too.
Sure.
These here are what you're getting, and they're like, you can see the dotted lines, the roof line? That's what it is. So it's just a facade, it's not an actual roof.
Almost like a parapet.
That's exactly what it is, but it's decorative, it's supposed to be functional.
Okay.
What's the width of the house, Mr. Lloyd?
Yeah.
Or either one of them?
Yes, the width of the house is 20.67 feet.
So I just have to ask the question, was there any way that you could make the house narrower to improve your side yards?
If you were actually to go, if you were actually to adhere to the side setbacks, this house would be 10 feet wide.
Right, well, yeah. Understood that you can't meet the requirements.
Since we talked about the bulk requirements already, I can just go into the justification of variances, if you like.
Okay.
Okay. The variances that we previously talked about was the minimum lot width of 50 feet required, there's 25 feet existing. This is a existing condition, it's a C variance, which is based off a hardship or unique shape, as most of the surrounding lots in the area are similar in size, and it's an existing condition with the existing house on it. the other setbacks for the side setbacks.
It doesn't have an existing house now.
No, there is a house.
There is?
The house is still there.
I took a picture today.
Oh, I thought you said you demolished.
No. We pulled the permit, but we haven't torn it down yet.
Okay.
And just to, just kind of refer to A2 exhibit, you can see we have the existing conditions plan. You can see the footprint of the existing house in relation to the two existing buildings to the north and south. As you can see, the lot, the houses on this lot are kind of staggered where one's closer to the water, one's closer to the street. So we try to adhere to that same setup where we have, you can see the proposed house is, the only difference is if we set that 16.5 feet off the normally placed, but you can see the house is actually a little shorter in length than the existing house to end in approximately the same location as it is currently exists. And then with the addition of a deck, two-story deck that's put towards the western portion of the site. In addition, we also have the AC units up on the roof to be out of the flood zone. And then in addition.
And you won't be able to see them, correct? Because it will be.
That's correct.
Okay.
And they're in the back.
They're blocked by the other, yeah.
They're blocked by the other house. And then in addition for the.
But you can't see them from the street either.
Correct.
Okay.
Because you have that facade.
Because you have the facade.
You have the facade and it's all the way back, it's all in the western portion of the house, away from the street. And then for the flexible C variances, we have the side setback, combined side and the height where we just must advance the purposes of the MLUL where the benefits outweigh the detriments. The benefits are we're removing a house that was damaged by Sandy and bringing it up to a new house that's current to the flood to new FEMA elevations and building codes. It's in character with the neighborhood. There's a lot of new construction going on. And then there's no significant detriment to the proposed variances with the side setbacks, even though we're requesting variances where we have made them less obtrusive by a couple tenths, even though it's just tight in that area. The front setback, we've also set the house, because the house is smaller in length, we're able to get it right off of normally placed, where originally it was 3.7 feet off of normally placed, and now we're at 16.5. So the approval of these variances are inconsistent with the intent of the purpose of the master plan, where as stated in the master plan, the master plan says specifically protection of life and property from coastal storms and flooding as a result of raising this house up. It's going to enable it to be protected from future storms. So in conclusions, the positive reasons exist for granting this variance, and it can be granted without the detriment of the health and safety and general welfare to the public. And the granting of this variance will result in an improvement of the site consistent with the master plan and the ordinances of Seabright.
Can we see the materials?
Do you want to see the siding?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Without, I don't think we have to actually mark it in.
I'm not going to mark it.
Yeah, okay. I just want to see that. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I only got one comment. And we asked the applicant to that all roof leaders and gutters run to the back, to the river, and not to the street.
Yes, we do have a note on the plan. We'll revise that. It says both, and we'll revise it to go to the back.
Well, the new building applications in our town now require a grading plan approval.
Right. But I'm just saying, if you have to put the resolution ready, you got it.
All roof leaders and gutters run to the rear.
In case somebody else has used
exactly what it is.
No.
I'll leave it here for now.
All right, well, if you can just tell us exactly what the siding is.
Okay, we're going with wide, it's lineals, but it's not like a 4-on-4. They're 7 inches wide, so they're going to look like cedar planks. That's going to be on the north side, the south side, and the front of the structure, and then on the facades that raise higher than the actual structure, we're going to have a different color, and they're going to go up and down like board and batten.
Mm.
We're using sterling gray and flagstone. I mean, I could pass this around and you guys could see. It's colors that are used all over in the beach areas.
Sterling gray and flagstone, you said?
Yes, those are the two colors going on.
What's the company?
Certainteed.
Certainteed, okay.
Yeah, so all the materials we put on homes, I mean, the name you would...
Yeah, please.
Okay, so just give me the, and I missed the, putting down wide siding lineals.
Yeah, they're 7-inch wide.
7-inch wide.
And it's going to go, if you look at the plan I submitted that's part of, on there, the ones going left to right...
Okay.
Are the 7-inch, and the ones going up and down are the board and batten. And again, we're using the flagstone and sterling gray. And it's certainteed.
Certainteed.
All by certainty, right?
It's, they're great.
We put these on our townhouses a couple of years ago, you know, 24 houses. And some of them came out with splotches. Certainteed did the whole thing over for free. And they had their own contract.
I'm familiar with the company.
Yeah, it's a big...
They did.
We just want to make sure it's stipulated in the resolution because we've been, this board's been screwed before with the, with the architecture.
Oh, with just stuff, okay. And that's why I figured, you know, I was never...
Give me those colors again, so I know.
Flagstone.
Flagstone and sterling gray.
And sterling gray.
And the contrast is white.
Oh, and then we also, we're doing wide, like normal corners on a house are 3.5 inches. We're doing the super corners. So it breaks up the structure a little bit more. They're 5-inch. So they're huge on the corners and they're going to be white. So it's going to be picture framed. It's going to look really nice. All wide lineals, 3.5 inches around every window. On the decks, in the back and in the front, we're using glass balusters so that if there is any window from a neighbor looking through, they're going to be able to literally look through the deck. They're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be hindered by a white vinyl baluster.
Good.
And the stairway going down is also going to have them, so there's not going to be anything being blocked.
Great, sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, we took a lot of time planning this and really going through it and trying to get the best home for him and his family as well as fit the neighborhood and, you know, not be out of place, I guess is the best.
We have to live with it and we want other people to as well.
Thank you.
See through it.
Yeah.
Good job.
How high are the houses on either side in elevation, do you know?
So the house to the north, 34, is similar construct... Oh, I'm sorry, 32. That's similar construction, so it's a steel reinforced poured concrete house, also with a garage at the ground level and then two built levels above, two living space levels above that. And then although he doesn't have an attic, he's got like a little teeny mansard roof. I want to say, if anything, it's probably a little higher than we're going just because he's got...
Same this, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's rounded in the front and then on the sides, he's got a little bit of a mansard. It's probably a little higher than we're going and again, we really wanted to keep it down as much as we could. We figured if we can keep within the footprint and we can keep within the height, it would be easy for everyone to say, yes, Mr. Levy, please.
Yeah.
Perceive, we're tired of looking at your house that you're not in.
Since you're going to a flat roof type construction, is the roof being utilized for anything more than your air conditioners?
You know, I was, not for actual living space. I was just talking, you know, whether we want to think about maybe solar, but that would be the only thing that we...
We're not going to use it as a roof deck.
Certainly not.
Absolutely.
I am afraid of heights. I probably won't even use the...
And it's not perfectly flat.
Yeah.
I saw the...
So let's make that a conditional approval that it won't be a roof deck.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So we've got the two large yaks in the back, one off of the first living space and the second off of the second living.
Did you experiment with any designs with a peak roof, with a ridge?
It was just going to get too high. And, you know, I didn't want to have to bring in anything.
Because we're trying to discourage flat roof looks in this town. I don't know, they're not characteristic with the Cape Cod look or seashore look. It's more like the Miami Beach look.
I mean, we...
Yeah, I think it's really nice that they...
Yeah, no, it's nice.
But...
We could do it, you know, the question is, you know...
It's going to lower the living space ceiling heights.
Well, the height is calculated by the mid-range between the plate and the ridge. It's not all the way to the ridge, so... No, if the board doesn't object to it. I'm not a lover of flat roofs.
I have the same concern. You have to...
This is a good example for, this is a good example for not a flat roof. Or for, yeah, it's fine.
And we've got the condition that there isn't going to be a roof deck.
It's too narrow.
Is there any more testimony then? Does the board have any more questions?
Looks good.
We'll open it to the public then. Does anybody in the public have any questions of any of the testimony given by any one of the three people that have testified? Can you please stand and state your name?
Ruth Glazer, 488 Ocean Avenue. I just, not a comment on what they've got, it sounds wonderful, but for you to say you don't like flat roofs, how did you let that bunker get built up on the key parking lot?
Because it didn't need a variance.
And the one next to me, which looks like an apartment house, and it has to have exceeded the height. It's four stories high. Bonnevert, 490 Ocean.
Good word, Dave.
It didn't go to the board. Our board secretary is saying that application did not come to this board.
So we had no
say.
Yeah,
no control over it.
Good luck. We're trying.
Having flat roof, boxy looking town.
I know. You're right.
The problem is the town isn't designated as a historic location, and we can't dictate people's ability to design their own home, so it's against the law.
I believe we're going on one of the oldest, smallest, most authentic looking house in Seabright.
Ruth, we appreciate that.
That's a good way to have it.
Is there anybody else in the public that has any comment or question of the testimony? Then we'll close the public portion.
I'll move the application if Westendale has any discussion.
Is there any discussion or motion?
I'll second that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great application. We've got this.
The setbacks and everything are wonderful. Yeah. The size of the house is perfect.
It's an improvement. We have the garage, which is a big deal, getting cars off the streets. So I think it's a plus all around.
All the key systems up out of the flood zone.
Right. And we have stipulations as to the materials.
There'll actually be a whole foot, more than a foot of freeboard between any of the mechanicals and probably more like 2 feet.
Okay. So we have a motion by selecting.
I made the motion.
With the stipulations that were made by the applicant regarding the building materials, the certain feet wide siding lineals of 7 inches and the vertical elements, board and batten, with the colors as stated and the flat roof not to be used as roof deck.
How would all the leaders?
Oh, I'm sorry. And the leaders, right? All right. I have that circled. All roof leaders and gutters on to the rear.
It's gonna be great.
Right.
Thank you.
Can we do a roll call?
She's gonna do it.
Oh, okay.
That would help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kajula.
Yes.
Chairman Seale.
Yes.
Captain Lexi.
Yes.
Fort.
Yes.
Knott.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
McGinley.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
How quickly do you think it might get done?
So the demolition permit has already been pulled.
Right.
I guess as soon as this is recorded, we'll start demolition. They'll order the modules. As soon as we get the building permit done.
Well, you can start demolition before that.
Absolutely. Demolition will be done before that. The filing is relevant as soon as we get the building permit, modules a week or two after that, and the rest is just finished.
We look forward to welcoming you back.
I'm thrilled. I'm not promised, but it should be less than 3 months.
Great. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night. Good
night. As far as what? This is
our final. All right, next on the agenda this evening is Sunny Sandwich Shop. The applicant is seeking a variance for the construction of a walk-in refrigerator box in the rear of the sandwich shop.
Okay.
I thought there was one there before in the previous.
Yeah.
We have a resolution.
Yeah. Let me just
pull it on. I remember doing that before.
Yeah, when the guy, the Gracie he got the approval for a refrigerator back there.
I got it. So we ultimately approved it though, right?
It looks
like.
Right.
Like it.
Yeah.
And this one looks smaller.
Yes.
No, we approved it.
Yeah, we approved it. That's what I said.
No.
We ultimately approved it.
Yeah.
The only question was about the noise and compressor, and we had testimony to that effect, and I think everybody was satisfied with it.
Correct. So, again, I've looked at the jurisdictional packet here. I'm going to mark that as A1. Everything seems to be in good order, and that the board can take jurisdiction over this matter. That includes the notices and the publications.
I'm next door, and I have something to say about.
Yes, you'll have a chance after the application, during the application.
Unless you want to say you didn't get notice.
No, I did that.
Okay, yes.
No, that's.
Now, the plans that you've presented are Catherine Franco, AIA, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A2, it's just called walk-in box plans. Catherine Franco, AIA, dated 9/15/16. Catherine with a C, by the way. So I'll call them architectural plans, 9/15/16. Okay. And I guess we can mark the resolution, the prior resolution of this board. I'm going to mark that as B1. Just for reference.
Sorry, Dave.
And the resolution was July 22nd, 08.
Does that box still exist? The one that was approved back then?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so.
I guess we're all ready then.
Who's going to testify here?
Well, I'm his attorney. My name is Robert Genovese.
Perfect, okay.
Can you place your credentials on?
No, he's the attorney.
I'm the attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you need that, do you?
No, no.
Are you licensed attorney, state of New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
No, I'm not.
Okay. This is a site plan. I guess we're looking for site plan approval for 1064 Ocean Avenue. Obviously, it's for a walk-in refrigerator box, which is going to be a non-permanent structure. We're going from a 10-foot side yard to a 6.1 side yard. Apparently, there was some issue regarding a noise ordinance that is obvious is met by the specifications for this, but my client is going to testify as to the structure, as to the non-permanency of it, the uses of it, any noise issues that the board may have, and the location of it.
Need the walk-in, I mean, I don't know what questions I'd like to.
That's where you're at.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, is it?
Left and right.
You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give us the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Kenneth Gambella, G-A-M-B-E-L-L-A.
And what is your relationship to Sonny's Sandwich Shop?
Sonny's Sandwich Shop. I am the manager, owner.
Okay. What is Sonny's Sandwich Shop? Is that a corporation, LLC?
LLC.
And are you a member, manager,
yes.
Member of the LLC?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
The box is being built to maintain all health requirements, better safety, and serving the customers. There's an existing box there. This one's much, much smaller on an existing slab that's there. And
what are the dimensions of the box that you want to put in?
12 by 4, I believe.
Yep.
Yep.
The existing box is going to remain as it is.
Yes, it is.
This is going to be in addition to that next to it.
And that box is not mine. That's another box that's Gracie and the dudes, as you mentioned.
Okay.
Oh, you have no access to that box?
Oh, no, not at all.
So this will be only for your use, the new box?
Yes, sir.
And it'll be 6 feet, 1 inch off the sideline? Is that correct?
Yes.
I'll assume Gracie and the dudes is a freezer box. Is yours a freezer box?
His is a combo. I believe his is a combo. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I believe he has two different sections in that box. Mine was just a walk-in box to keep regular refrigeration.
So that yours is refrigeration only?
Refrigeration only, no freezer, yes.
The compressor is incorporated within the box, or is it going to be in a different location?
It's on the top of the box.
Our question last time was about the concern was about the noise coming from the compressor. Do you have...
Yeah, there's two. There should be two forms here with noise estimates, and it's well within... it's actually 68. I don't know if you guys have copies of this. Do you guys have copies of these?
No, I would like to see how it compares to, comparison to the existing.
That's these, right?
The existing, I'm not going to testify on the existing, but it's lower. It's much smaller, and it's much lower than the
existing. What you're handing us is this that you've presented called manufacturing spec standards?
No, these are two noise comparisons where it's a 68 decibel level in that spec sheet there. And if you see here, that's just about the size of...
We don't have it.
Okay, we don't have that, so let me mark
what we have. Yeah, well, she has to mark those. Exactly.
Okay, and you're going to have to identify these. All right, so there's two sheets here. What's the front, what's the back of these? Like on this one?
It's just saying in that...
Well, which is the front, which is the back?
This is the front, looking at the back here.
Okay.
And the number, the decibel level.
Are these two pages of the same thing, or are these two separate?
Two separate comparisons.
Okay, so A3 then. Is called Comparative Examples of Noise Levels. Okay, let me just do that. And what's A4 here?
That's the same thing, just two different looks at it.
Okay.
Just a different chart?
Just a different chart. Explaining what it's going, you know, what that decibel level is in comparison to bulging, exactly. Background speaking, traffic at 10 meters or something like that.
So why don't you explain some of it to everybody then, I guess.
Before you do that, let me ask you, what kind of refrigerator box is this, and what are the, I don't know anything about these, so...
Okay.
What's the...
Other than what's there, it's going to keep... Food, what you guys have in front of you, it's going to keep food at the proper temperature so I can stay within all codes and maintain proper safety.
I think the concern
is
everybody...
Bush Refrigeration is the name of the...
That's what I'm asking.
Bush, yes.
B-U?
S-H.
S-H.
I have a question.
I think I just had that.
Here
it is.
What do we say? What's the sound level of this?
68.
Can you give some kind of can you explain how that compares to anything that we're familiar with? Obviously, the only big complaint I think you're going to have with this application is going to be the effect of noise.
Absolutely.
And I lower think people need to understand that.
Okay. In comparison, it's only 12 by 4 compared to the one that's there. I don't know if you guys have the measurements of the one that's there. It's much smaller, much lower. That's all I can say about that.
Is it compared to a home air conditioner, or is it louder or less? Is it
less?
It's
less. There is examples on that paper there. It says
You said 68.
68 is where it falls.
So 70 would be a car at 10 meters, or a vacuum cleaner. 60 is a TV stand at home or a dishwasher, according to this chart.
It's one horsepower, medium temperature compressor.
It's not loud
very noisy. Yeah. It doesn't have very much.
Our ordinance, the average is for a commercial facility, 65. So he's a little above.
The average in our ordinance for noise
is 65 decibels. Yeah.
Is that the max? Yeah, it's just the average.
Well, I shouldn't say that. It's not the max, because it does it by octave levels.
Right.
And I don't know if I want to get into that, because we have no idea what the octave level will be.
No.
But the octave levels go from 43 to 86, based on what their levels are.
I just want to make sure it doesn't exceed...
But the average is 65.
I just want to make sure it didn't exceed the maximum in the ordinance.
Well, it's exceeding the average, but it's not exceeding the maximum.
Okay.
At the lower octave levels, we have no idea what this, what the octave level is.
I understand. It's just if it exceeded the maximum, we would have problems, so...
Right. Now, marked as A5, just before you do that, you've submitted, and the board should have, three pages that are stapled together, the front page being manufacturing standards, second page being with, under the heading of push refrigeration, which is, I guess, the specs of your particular cooler, and then the last page of it is Carroll Coolers, push refrigeration, because it just shows the dimensions of the specifications of the cooler and the dimensions.
No, I know, I'm seeing that.
Yeah. 100 decibels is basically a low shout. Okay, so it's not there, but when you start getting up to 68, 70, it's gonna generate a certain amount of noise.
Yeah. Exceeding the one that's there? Not to exceed the one that's there.
I don't know.
Don't forget, you're adding on to them, though,
I have no idea what the one that is there.
Dave, you may know, like, if you have two sound sources, do they...
Next to each other.
Does one cancel the other, or do they...
They are added.
They're added, right.
I just put a compressor in, and I built a box around it. Is this thing have any kind of a rain box, or the elements?
It's outside unit with the elements, it's maintained. I'm not so sure if this...
Oh, it says there in the cut sheet that that's an enclosed box.
That should help.
It's just double the whisper.
Nothing. Double the whisper. Yeah, I like that.
But is the other one operating as well, all the time? I guess it is.
Not year-round, as far as I know. Okay. Again, I'm not here.
What next to you? It's closed in the winter.
Yes, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Good point.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. My grandchildren went looking for ice cream on that.
And, I mean, we all could assume that the noise level coming from the street is going to be greatly exceeded in the summertime during the time of bulb box.
I know she had the door on the side instead of the end. It said that the door would be smaller than 34 inches, but do you really need a door larger than 34 inches for the products you'll be bringing in and out of there?
Do I need it larger than 34?
Right. They're putting the door on the side, which faces the neighboring property. I don't know that the door on the end wouldn't be easier for you to get in and out of from your place, and it would keep you from having to go around to
the
side.
Yes, reason being there is an air conditioning unit behind me. At the base of the store, there's an air conditioning unit that's there already.
So where does Gracie and the dudes access their walk-in box from?
From the opposite side. It would almost be exactly opposite of where the door location of mine would be.
So your door would be here?
This door is here. Their door is here? Yes.
I'm saying their walk-in box.
It would be actually right on the other side of...
So they enter their walk-in box here.
They enter this way, yeah.
And you enter yours there.
Right, and right here is the air conditioning unit for the whole building.
Gotcha.
Do they offer some kind of like Dave was explaining, a sound reducing?
If it's offered and can be put onto that exterior box, I would definitely entertain applying it to the box.
You need the free airflow around.
Yeah, I understand that, but the manufacturer has something that they offer as
they have something.